The way to do it, so to join manually. So go back to your calendar and then see if you can pull this, the invite up.
Okay.
Can I go to record like this from there or no?
I don't know that you can because I don't.
Is it recorded?
You know, I don't know if Jerry.
Yeah, that's usually the one, but they can't see in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a way to see the camera?
Mm-mm, no.
What's that for?
I don't know.
Well, you can vote. Are you? We have four.
Yeah, there's only three. You can vote. It's only three. No, but I'm saying. The whole office, I don't know if Jerry's eligible.
It was working just fine.
He will be next year when I step off.
Oh, no. You have a choice. But you gotta wait for a meeting.
I'll leave when you leave.
Well, technically, my.
Yeah, I'll leave when you.
I don't have an update. All right, I'll call the meeting to order. Thank you for your patience as we start this out. May we have roll call, please?
Let's see, call to order. Kate Calhoun?
Here.
Carlos Portillo?
Yes, here.
Annabelle Nunez?
Here.
Jerry Flanagan? Flanagan? Sorry.
Flannery.
Flannery. Oh, it says Flanagan, sorry.
That's all right, I'm used to it.
Okay. Okay, Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Terrific. Item number two, seeking approval of the legal action report and the minutes of the January 2026 meeting. We did have cancellations for the February 17 meeting and the March 17th meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I second the motion.
All right, may we have a vote by roll call?
Okay, Kay Calhoun?
Aye.
Carlos Botillo?
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Perfect, thank you. I don't have a report. I think I need to probably, because I'm here. In the position of our chair, Jaime Pereira, who's formally off the board, I think. But we had sent a letter to Ward 3 asking them to actually look at the commission charter.
Just flip it.
And I will follow up on that. Unless anyone has any information.
No, I think the request is to do away with all the timeouts. Any discussion from Ward?
Was there anything during their council meeting between December and now with regards to term limits for board positions, board of commissions?
Specific to CPARP, so a letter went in, was given to Councilmember Dahl, and he was gonna take the matter up to council, so for discussion to be able to remove those term limits.
Okay, I can look into that. Yeah, you're welcome.
Also, for what it's worth, I spoke to a chief aide at Ward 2, who indicated he would be willing to bring that legislation forward as necessary, that amendment forward as necessary. I advised him that Councilman Dahl's office was considering at this time. So if for any reason they've got more on their plate than they expected and want to pass it off, I'm sure I could get Ward 2 to be interested in
bringing it. Chief A would be Tom?
I'm going to go to Ted Brzezowski.
Okay. The other Brzezowski. Okay, so my action will be to follow up and get a check-in, and then.
Because you are next.
For term limits, yeah.
And that would be when?
June.
So if this doesn't happen by June, you're.
Bless you.
Bless you. Okay. And then you'd be down to possibly three.
That is correct.
All right, thank you.
But making an appeal to Mr. Flannery. He will be wrapping up the training as we come up.
I'm done with all my online training. The only thing I have left is the ride along or whatever.
Were you able to get in?
So his hours are just documented except for his ride along, is that correct?
Yeah.
So I didn't know she was supposed to be connected to that. Because we're able to turn it on there.
Yeah, connected to that, okay.
You let me know when you're available, you know.
I have issues.
You've completed all your hours?
Yeah, all my online training.
So she put this one here.
After the meeting, you'll talk to me and we'll find some hours.
So people were in one and then there were. So I should put this one.
Do you want to wait for just a moment until they can figure out their technology?
You want to mute that one?
Microsoft.
This is about Microsoft.
Was everybody can have a gap? My computer was.
I wasn't in office, really.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nothing at home?
It was pretty just a hunky. I'm like, oh. Sorry.
Cover from the finance line. Hi, how are you?
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
The answer's my prayer.
You're still recovering?
What's that?
You're recovering from the final call?
At least it wasn't like a heartbreaking, like last second loss. It was just such a beating that.
Huge beatdown.
By half the time, it was just more than that.
It was like they sent out a different team from the ones I watched all season.
No, they're playing that.
They were too tall. The other team was too tall.
The other team was tall, but.
They're.
And then we had freshmen. It's like, this makes a huge difference.
And you're not into it.
Like, I just have to wonder if they were that good.
Yeah.
I think the thing that made a huge difference was the fact that none of the basketballs were going through the.
Interesting, huh?
They would just bounce off.
Yeah, it's my turn.
That's really not a good success.
Interesting, I'll see like that. I have to face that way because.
Yeah.
But they're not able to.
I've pinpointed that problem.
Are they able to see that?
It's mirroring this.
We were out on university for the Final Four.
Are they able to?
But are they able to see like.
All the festivities, people left at halftime.
That's what we were having.
Yeah, people like heading to the people at halftime. There were a lot.
So no issues, no cars turned over, no.
Not like that.
Wow.
It was such a beating that people left at halftime.
Wow.
I think we had one guy throw a beer bottle off the top.
Are you able to see it? Because she's on there, she can't.
That was probably just frustration.
I think they can just hear us.
I was serendipitously on 4th Avenue in 1997 just because we couldn't find anywhere to go.
Yeah, you
and
were there.
At the time we were at Hyman's, it was Hyman's, yeah, where the burger places, yeah. The movies, I think. Nobody was there on 4th Avenue, and my car was parked on 4th Avenue, and then by the time we walked out and the whole thing, it was like this incredible surge of people, and I'm like, I can't leave, what is going on?
Yeah.
That was just bad.
Yes.
You're waiting.
It's good. What a good looking guy that guy is. What's his name? Olivas. What a good looking fellow.
Do we have audio from
Are you ready?
Can you hear us? Gallery, online gallery, anyone? Can you hear us?
No.
Bueller?
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
He's like, I can hear you.
Can you hear us?
I'm not hearing anything.
But it's all in the back.
Can you hear us?
I can hear barely. Well, I probably when I'm hearing through the phone.
You know, this would have been solved if you just showed up.
Yeah. I was told, don't worry, it's on team. You can just catch it on there. I was like, all right, cool.
All right, we'll fix it. I'll talk to
you. All right. Okay.
You have to call them. They're logged on, so you might want to answer.
Sorry, everyone. We tested out yesterday and it was working just fine. So
it always happens.
Yeah, I'm like, of course.
I
guess.
Yeah. 2026,
still struggle.
It happens at like every event.
They can start.
Okay. Very good. You may start. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. We'll carry on with item number 4, a call to retirees. At this time, the community may address the board with their concerns. The board may not address a specific concern at this meeting. However, the board may, at its discretion, make it a future item agenda or agenda item, at which time there can be discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific member. Each person is limited to 3 minutes. Do we have any members from the audience that wish to speak tonight? Nobody?
I'm not hearing anything. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you.
There are two individuals that are on the call.
Tracy, that's you, right?
Yes.
The bar that's you. Tracy.
Mm-hmm. And
I don't know who.
Gabriel Holguin, are you a member of the community?
Gabriel Holguin, can you hear us?
Probably not.
With you?
No, but
no, these ward. What are the wards? Wards.
Oh, yeah. Ward office?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe ward 5? Yeah.
Maybe ward 5. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ward 5.
Okay. All right. Since there are no members from the community wishing to speak to the board, we'll move on to item number 5, a review of the TPD investigations. In accordance with section 10A-88F of the Mayor and Council mandate, the board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigation to the specific in the mandate. Item case number 1, which is 25-0374. This case.
Gun return.
I'm sorry?
That's the gun return.
This is the gun return? This is the hard takedown, wasn't it?
No, this was had to do with the female experiencing a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
374. I'm sorry, I thought you said 374.
It did say 374. Am I incorrect?
No, you got it right.
Okay.
It's a takedown.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's use of force.
Use of force takedown was the allegation. The findings were there was no violation and there was no discipline. I open it up for discussion.
Since this was a few months ago, I had to review it again, and I saw the video again today to refresh my memory. I do believe that this case was fair and thorough. I did not see any use of force.
Anything to add?
I agree.
May I have a
motion?
Kay Calhoun?
Aye.
We have made a motion.
We have to make a motion to approve.
That is fair and thorough. Yes. I will make a motion.
No, this is
I'll second the motion that the case number 25-0374 is found fair and thorough. Now
roll call. Okay. Kate
Cohen. Aye.
Carlos Portillo.
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Yes. Case number 2, 24-0290. This is the allegation is unprofessionalism, and the complainant form mentioning that Sergeant that attended to the case engaged in a death investigation, so it was basically from the medical examiner's office, if I remember correctly.
Oh, the complaint. Yes.
Made a complaint because there was a discussion about access to the case and did not care for how that engagement went, and so the findings were no violation. There was chain of command counseling, but there was no discipline. Chain of command. There was a 10-hour suspension eventually. Is that after the chain of command?
Yeah.
Had the consultation or whatever? Also, the sergeant was to move to office.
Separate.
Is there anything you wish to add to that, or do we have any questions?
I had one question. On page 4 of this, it said that she served her 10-day suspension.
And that's a title.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
So
that concludes my question.
Okay.
So my question is just overall procedures when OME comes in, the conversation that takes place between PD and OME. Is there usually a conflict, especially if there's an investigation going on, with them coming into the scene to transport that individual to their office?
Is this for me or?
Whomever. I'm just curious, how does that normally happen?
No, normally it's a partnership between the two agencies. OME has a lot more training in specific death investigations than the majority of our officers do, outside of really our homicide unit. They're often kind of leaned upon as subject matter experts in a lot of nuances of what they do, and in this case in particular, could have been utilized as, you know, de facto expert in a lot of ways in this. And normally we have a very strong working relationship.
Okay. That's good to know. I will make a motion to indicate that case number 24-0290 was 00.
I second the motion.
Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Carlos Portillo?
Aye.
Annabel Nunez?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Fantastic. And the third case this evening is case number 25-0037. This involves the matter of the gun. And the individual wanted to retrieve their gun, and the communication that was provided did not satisfy the complainant. And so the allegation is failure to provide appropriate services. There was no violation found, and there was no discipline, though there was a chain of command counseling. And it had to do with, I think, does anyone have a recall, perfect recall on that? Chain of command counseling on what was provided? Just feedback on response.
My understanding is that the individual had a history, a felony history, and did not have his rights, may or may not have had his firearm rights restored or not restored. I think there was a question about that.
Refuse and insist that the TPD would do their own research on that with the conversation. So he was waiting on a background check.
Again, I guess part of the problem was that they were also tasked with like going to get a fugitive, so they didn't have time to finish it up at the site.
Interesting.
And then, so that's why the gun was taken to the police station.
So to actually search, to run the search to make sure that his rights were reserved.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other?
Okay, I'll make a motion to indicate that case number 25-0037 was fair and thorough.
I'll second that.
Okay, Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Carlos Portillo?
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Yeah.
All right, great, thank you. Okay, on to item number 6.
Chair, point of order.
I'm here for the other two.
Traditionally, under number 6, you had been separated as agenda items, one for outside professional standards and one for the chief's representative. That doesn't mean it has to be that way. And it may, in fact, be easier not to. But just in the past, that's always been separated out.
Oh, he went on mute already.
Item number 6 has been separated out.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a break. Bottom line here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Thank you, though. Keeping us on the reel.
You're trying.
Testing us. I love it. Okay. So, yes, proceeding with any updates or reports from TPD.
For sure. Jimmy Wakefield, Mitchell 4. Somehow I managed to get myself promoted in March, so I'm the assistant chief of the patrol, so I'll be representing the department. The judge asked that I mention or discuss some of the final floor prep that we're doing this year. So we started planning in early February. We have presents from the Sweet 16 on. At the Elite 8, we broke up some operational areas. We had an operational area downtown. We had a police presence there. We had an operational area on University, and then lastly on 4th, the Sheriff's Department actually worked 4th Avenue for us. It was just too large for us to deal with. The atmosphere going into this year was much different than in previous years. I think some of the experiences that we as the police department had back in 2020 with some of the protests and civil disobedience sort of changed our trajectory of thinking from, hey, this is just a sports event, celebratory. In some situations, they may be disappointed in the outcome of the game, but it's just a much different vibe than, protesting and things like that. So we sort of took that mindset as we went into it. We had a contingent of what we call CAT or network teams out there that work the crowd. Essentially, they just high five and interact with the crowd. The biggest issues we saw out there was probably over service, drunk individuals, overly drunk individuals falling down, but most people were celebratory. The final night on the final floor, as I mentioned, we did have a bottle thrown from Gentle Ben's. Officers quickly made an arrest, the guy that did it. Some of the things we did at the Final Four and that we were planning on doing at the championship game is we anticipated if U of A won, that University would essentially turn into a block party, which we're totally cool with that. So we were planning on essentially setting up the community network teams, moving throughout the crowd, making sure the crowd stays orderly. We anticipated some minor stuff, maybe a fight or firecrackers or maybe individuals climbing on objects. Those things never really materialized, but that's what we were prepared for going into the championship. And we were very much prepared to do isolated sort of interactions and arrests in those cases, deal with the individuals that were responsible for it, not the crowd. I think that posture really helped this year. It was a very, very good atmosphere.
The next one.
I was hoping we'd go all the way and win it, just so we could get that monkey off our back.
Final Four is a good run.
It was, for sure. So I felt happy the last time we went to the Final Four. We had a melee down there.
Yeah, that was not good.
This year, nothing of the sort, so it was a good response.
Question about University Boulevard. I mean, when you were talking right now about potential that we won that game, would you have closed down the university?
So what we did, Adam Kim, the captain that was here earlier, he was the incident commander for the university.
Okay.
His recommendation, we did a couple of site recons leading into the Final Four. Uh-huh. His recommendation was to close the university to vehicle traffic.
Right.
and I thought this was spot on. And we put out a series of barricades called Meridian Barricades, and what they will do is they will actually stop vehicles, like even up to the size of a bus. We're a little concerned about somebody duplicating their New Year's Day attack in New Orleans, even if it's just maybe somebody that's drunk and driving to the sidewalk. So we shut it down to vehicle traffic. We did have a couple access points in case we had to get fire in there if somebody that fell or got hurt. But we also allowed, and I hadn't really seen this before, but the street cart, it takes a ton of people out of that area. So we kept the street cart going. We had a couple of backup buses that would also come into the area to get the students and the folks in the area out. And within half an hour or so, it was just maybe a regular Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah, it moved quick.
Cool.
I wish they closed it down permanently, but.
In years past, they closed the university between the park and Newton.
Yeah.
That's where we'd be a shoot.
TVs out on both sides.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
That should be closed. Yeah,
2 blocks. It's like, it's close to happening now.
I'm going to tell you just to add something, because in almost every year past, I've had complaints that have come out of police action or maybe inaction during those details. And this year, not one complaint has come out. And then the other thing is, I'd see the prep and the planning that went into this. And when nothing happens, I mean, people say, why did they waste so much time? Which is so short-sighted to say that, right? I mean, because God forbid that, you know, somebody would lit the fuse, they would have been prepared. But, you know, it's a blessing and a good thing that nothing happened. But TPD really planned very, very well, extensive planning, every step of the way. So kudos to TPD. And I had no complaints.
Well, I wonder if there's just a different mindset of this, with this generation.
So.
That hooliganism, I don't think exists to the degree that it did.
It's way different.
Than the 90s.
You're right.
Yeah, I agree. And
it's way different.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, too. It is part of our thinking. Other than we had a little bit of flare-up in 2014 when we had to clear the street, but looking back at that in the rearview mirror, we were looking for a fight.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, there's no better way to say it. And so we quickly kind of diffused that mentality with our officers, and I think they were accepting of that. And, you know, going back to 97 or 2001, like, the kids that were out there weren't even alive at the time, so they had no idea.
No idea.
Right.
They don't know.
A lot of them were asking, why is there such a police presence? We told them, man,
you should have seen.
We've had some challenges back in the day, and they're just, oh my gosh.
But I don't think it's like that across the country, even with, like, as much.
Yeah, right? I think it's really shifted. I mean, you'll have some blowups.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, probably in Oakland with the Raiders, or looking at their group, but the fan base, depending on the fan base.
No, times have changed for sure.
Well, preparedness is this. It's like, you know, you're waiting for the big storm to come and you're prepared for it to hit, and then it doesn't, and so whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, for sure. It was helpful too. There's a couple bars that are downtown that traditionally by the Triangle area, Funky Monk, and the name of the other bar escapes
me.
It was closed. Yeah.
Highwire.
That helps.
Highwire. Yeah. They're reconstituting that as a U of A themed sports bar, and the former Funky Monk is also being reconstituted as well into something else. I suspect next year we'll have to have a heavier presence downtown. That triangle, going back to the final game, where it would turn into a block party, I suspect the same thing will happen in that triangle area if they win. Which is fine. Yeah, they can have the streets, and we're not going to play with it. We'll celebrate with them.
Great. And anything else? That was enough.
That was a lot. There's actually two initiatives that the department's doing that I wanted to share with you all, and perhaps you want further information down the road with these two programs. So they're very much a concept. Under Chief Prieto, she wanted an initiative to sort of focus on some of the open air drug use and frequent, I'm going to call them street dealers within the Tucson area. When I was a young cop a long time ago, the 11th and Flores area was saturated with what we call trappers, people that would come out into the street and actually stop traffic going by and try to sell their drugs. A lot of bus stops throughout town. You know, become trap locations, locations where trappers are working. So under Chief Preventive Leadership, we're creating a group that's sort of centered through our Counter-Narcotics Alliance, and CNA is it's an initiative of local, state, and federal officers that focus on disrupting and dismantling drug trafficking organizations. So CNA sort of lead the charge. CNA has a dedicated prosecutor attached to it. And then each of the patrol divisions have identified a lieutenant to work with that group to identify problems, problem locations, problem people. And then as a group, work to identify strategies on dealing with those specific individuals instead of us saturating neighborhoods or things like that. So that initiative is moving forward. I know they've only had a couple of meetings to discuss what it looks like, but I suspect within a few weeks they'll be rolling hot and heavy. And if you guys would like further explanation, I can get the counter-narcotics lieutenant to discuss it more. And the other program is very similar in that it's called Focus Deterrence, and it's been around for, in concept, it's been around for several years. It's been scientifically studied. Essentially what it does is it IDs a small group of individuals that essentially have a commitment to commit violence in our community, for lack of better terms. So once we use data through our research analysis section to identify those individuals, there's two components. One is sort of the carrot. So we have a violence interruption coordinator on the Tucson Police Department. She works through Goodwill and makes referrals to Goodwill for outreach services. So that's the first sort of level, is outreach to these individuals, saying, hey, we know you're engaged in criminal activity. We want to offer you services. What do you need? So sort of the carrot is offered to them. And then on the other side is, hey, if you continue to demonstrate the community violence within the community, the police department's going to deal with you and do everything we can to put you in prison so you can't get free. So that strategy also is being built out, which focuses on violent crimes, specifically gun crime. That one's still very conceptual too. We have the violence interruption coordinator in place. Obviously, we're very good at enforcement. So we just need the research analysis of that portion and then integrate that whole program more. Those are the updates.
I would like to hear more about the new program that you all are doing at the bus stops. Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
For sure.
That says a future training, right? Is that a future training item?
Yes, please.
I'm just advising the clerks.
Yes, I'd like a future training item on the CNA new program. What was the name of that?
Safe City Narcotics.
Safe City Narcotics.
Okay.
Please.
I have a question, and you may or may not have the answer, but in terms of Kratom and this access to Kratom, are you hearing anything about, like, is the state looking at maybe trying to do some legislation around access to it? Or?
Yeah, what's interesting is before I got promoted, I was the counter-narcotics commander, and I maybe just heard of that a month ago, but I do know that the state is focusing on it.
What is it?
So it's a, I don't even know, it's not a supplement, it's Kratom, it's K-R-A-T-O-M.
It's an over-the-counter.
Kratom?
Yeah.
It's like a leaf. It's like a, I don't call it a herbal, not a supplement, but no. People are using it. It does give some effects. Yeah. And it's highly addictive, they're learning now, and it's very accessible at smoke shops,
gas stations,
and they're just seeing this, like, the increase of use has gone up exponentially by the thousands.
Yeah, it mimics the fentanyl receptors in the brain when they take this stuff. It's available over the counter.
Yeah, you can just walk in. So, like, if you're on, what's the street where La Chingada is?
Oracle?
No.
Pennington.
Oh, Pennington, the statue. Yeah. Pennington and Pennington and Scott.
Yeah, there's a couple smoke shops there, and it's the city of Tucson, so where you go and get parking permits and stuff.
Where Parkway is that?
Yes. What is that street?
Pennington.
Scott. Pennington.
Okay.
And so there's a couple of, because I have a friend who used to have a parking sticker for that garage, mm-hmm. and she goes, I had to give it up. I was so scared because of the congregation at the two smoke shops. And there's a high school right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so, but I mean, I had been tracking on this for years because I used to be a big old voice around Whippets back in the day. Oof. And I used to work with public health people.
Here's
and
then
with public health, and then, you know, we got, I mean, Nina Traceoff was council member back then. And we ended up trying to get some legislation. I think we ended up getting something. I don't know what it was. But, you see, I mean, I have a picture of me holding Whippets because I used to go around the neighborhoods. I would fill up bags of it. Anyway, so fast forward, and I have been hearing about Kratom years ago, and it's just taken an uptick, and it's so addictive. And it's costly now to those addicted people because they need more and they need more and they need more. So, and I don't know what the behaviors around it, like with fentanyl, you don't see like violent people.
No, it's,
I speak like I know, but.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of a violence component to it, but it is very addictive, as you mentioned, and it does mimic fentanyl use.
Yeah.
And, so it's like a downer then, right? Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a pain, people get it for pain relief, actually. That's how some people that aren't like regular drug users start using it, because they get relief from pain, and then they end up, because it is an opioid, it's on the opioid receptors.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
It's an opioid. It's not an opioid. It is literally a leaf.
It was, the body responds to it as though it's an opioid. Yeah.
And it's the receptors that.
How do you ingest it?
You
chew it? You smoke
it?
I think they're smoking it.
But the fact that it's like right there by the high school is like super concerning. So it just seems to me that could be, I mean, the feds are clearly not doing anything about it, but I'm just wondering that the state legislature, if we could do something like what we did with the Whippets, could
yeah,
be something that TPU could think about.
They are, and I did have a meeting just before I left counter narcotics with the Attorney General's office, and so that the state is looking at
okay,
action.
Cool. Anything the community can do? Scary stuff. All right. Thank you for the report. Any other questions from the members of the board? Okay. On to the Office of Professional Standards. Any updates regarding any events or developments?
Good evening. I don't necessarily have any updates. I will say that our office has been pretty busy over the last couple of weeks, probably because you guys have seen the news. We did have three critical incidences within like a 7-day period. So one in custody death and two officer involved shootings. Our office has been pretty busy investigating those. This week is kind of the first week we can actually start to write up our reports, and you know, we got all of our interviews done the last couple weeks. And so that's the major thing that's happening in my office right now. You guys have any specific questions about anything?
How do they handle those which involve a lot of administrative interviews? Again, that's not the criminal side, but administratively they're doing interviews, and they've had quite a few staff in training at the same time. So they've been stretching themselves pretty thin.
And all three of those critical incidences, the Pima County Regional Critical Incident Team came out to investigate the criminal aspect of those cases. So obviously we're investigating the administrative portion of it.
Two of those were just released in the paper, I think yesterday and today. 15-year-old and a fellow took a box cutter and cut himself and led to death, an oracle. And so both of those are in the paper. Third one hasn't been completed yet. And during that same time, of course, the Sheriff's Department had a shooting as well. And TPD, OPS doesn't get involved since it's an SO function, but TPD is involved because other agencies contribute to the investigation for the officer that had the shooting. So TPD's been stretched pretty thin on that as well. And I think DEA had one as well during that same time, didn't it?
Yeah, that will not.
So, you know, I mean, you talk about times. That's a lot of shootings, guys.
Oh,
I've never seen that before.
And young, we're talking about really young.
One was 15.
Yeah.
One was 50 years on here, but that's all over the press and board.
Yeah. Okay, any others? Thank you very much. Okay, item number 7, election of chair and vice chair of CPAR.
No.
I will open up the nominations for chair. I would like to nominate, Jerry.
No, I don't know.
You're gonna put a formal nomination forward?
I don't know, can I do that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
May I nominate this one?
Yes.
Just for the record, you're pointing to whom?
Kay Calhoun.
Kate.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Ms. Calhoun, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I'll accept the nomination.
Yeah, I owe you a six-pack.
All right, let's have a... I'm sorry?
Any other nominations?
Any other nominations, any calls?
For vice chair?
For chair, we have to do a call for three.
We can't just do both and then...
A third call for nominations?
No.
Hearing none, I'll call for a vote on the acceptance of chair from Kay Calhoun.
A blow for an acclamation.
Okay.
All right, Kay Calhoun, oh, sorry.
I move for an acclamation of accepting, I haven't done this in a long time, clearly, of accepting the nomination from Kay Calhoun to be the chair of CPAR.
Yes, please.
Yay.
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 Tell me what kind of beer.
All right.
Sauvignon Blanc, it has to come from Australia.
Sauvignon Blanc from where?
Australia.
Australia.
Or New Zealand.
Oof.
I'm a little stuck.
Okay.
I think that requires a trip, but okay.
Australia or New Zealand.
All right, I will open it up for nominations for the vice chair.
I would like to nominate Annabelle.
I second that.
Any other nominations? Any other nominations? I accept the nomination to be vice chair. By acclamation of the board, do we all accept the nomination?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Yay! Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
It'll be a pleasure serving you again. Item number 8, Office of the Independent Police Officer.
The officers kind of stole my thunder on some of these points. It's gonna shut me down, guys. I know it's disappointing to you. complaints have been steady. I'd say, for whatever reason, over the last several months, because we haven't met, I've been getting more and more complaint. They're not really complaints. They're just people complaining about the system in general and or people suffering from some serious mental illness that complaining about things that are obviously can't be investigated because we're not going to call out NASA to investigate the Martians on your roof, so to speak. I mean, there's some things that are so outrageous. So I'd probably say about the last couple of months, probably 60-70% of all the cases I take never make it to OPS. They get shut down. And it's not that I just shut somebody down. I would never do that. I make the referral maybe to the MIST team, the mental health service team. You've had presentations from them before, directly to the community safety, health, and welfare group with the city of Tucson. That's acronym CASHU. I refer directly to other counseling agencies. So I'm handling those, but they're not really police related. So that's been taking some of my time as well. I've been out on some of the shootings, and you know what? I'm learning the older I get, it's a lot harder to bounce back from being up all night.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I used to be able to do it a little bit easier. So I go out with these guys, I'm proud of myself, I hold my own. I don't think they hear me snoring when I go back to the office. I try to keep it down, but it's not been so easy. It's getting harder, I recognize that, but I'm still hanging in there. What else? Just to identify, we're also being joined by Gabriel Holguin, and he is, Carlos Portillo is appointed by Ward 5, and Mr. Holguin is the council aide from Ward 5. And he's up on the board, whether he's able to hear us.
Welcome.
I don't know.
Recording.
And we'll hopefully get Jeremy through the, his hours very, very shortly. If he can find the time, TPD often has those hours available to observe their defensive tactics. So, does anybody have any questions of me?
Yes, and we had an appointment for Ward 2.
This ward right
six.
Here.
Six, that's my, yes.
And she has Ms. Kitty Voll, is her name, last name V-O-L-L. Mm-hmm. She's a practicing attorney with the Pima County Attorney's Public Defender's Office. And she's contacted the clerk's office for the last 2 months, indicating she had some conflicts and was not going to be able to be here. She has yet to be sworn in. Hopefully the next meeting she can be sworn in just prior to the meeting. And Carlos, I'll take a picture of that too in case she doesn't remember it down the road either.
Yes, sir.
Okay, no problem. And hopefully we can get her up and running. It's going to take some work. I haven't been able to sit down with her because she hasn't been at the meeting, so she's going to need to some ramp-up time as well. So that's another reason, quite frankly, to try to get this thing pushed through as far as amending the term limits, because I mean, congratulations on your election, but you're gone in June.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a whole lot of other people are fighting for that slot, so I would suggest, that a strong effort be made through ward office chair and try to get that thing through. It can't be that involved. I'm sure Roy Lusk is going to have to weigh in on it, and that's going to take some time for that to happen. Roy Lusk can again be the city attorney's office. So, any other questions?
And Zen Zen will still be attending when she can.
I don't know. She's not the city attorney. That'd be Roy, who used to be with us
right.
as the assigned attorney. I'm not sure what she has or who's been assigned to what or any movement that's going on.
Okay.
She was supportive. She's aware of the issue. So if Roy turns to her and asks, I'm sure. I can certainly, if you let me know it's going to be discussed, I'll be happy to call Zen Zen and just refresh your memory. That's what this board is supporting.
Thank you. All right. Anyone have any questions? Last call. And item number 9, possible ordinance. Okay. I think I preempted that. So yes, my action required will be to follow up with Councilmember Dahl just to see where that will stand with having that conversation with the rest of the board. Because he was going to have to push it. And that will be good to be done. So, again, we will be. We have a little bit of time. Where are we? 8:15? Ooh! Okay. Okay. So, we'll do that tomorrow. First thing. And then vacancies. We have Ward 2 still.
Ward 2 interviewed 2 people for their position some time ago. Jerry, you spoke to them about a follow-up saying, what was the decision?
Yeah,
I
sent them a follow-up question, it came like 2 weeks to think about it, and they were like, sorry, we haven't been able to make a decision, we've had a lot going on.
Who did you communicate with? Like, who did you send your message to? Tom?
Ted? I sent it to their assistant, and I sent it to the Ward 2 email, and we got the response from their assistant. And then I forwarded it to Mitch just so he could laugh.
I discussed with Ward 2 how there was still an open seat for Ward 1 and reminded them that the ordinance provides that if the council member from Ward does not appoint within a certain amount of time, the rest of the council on their own can appoint somebody to that position. What they choose to do with that or not, I don't know. I've made council members aware of that in the past, and they've chosen to take no action. Whether they choose to take action or not at this time, I'm hoping, because I was told that Ward 2 is going to be looking into that. So, again, I haven't heard
about it. Ward 2 is going to look into where Ward 1 is with that?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Ward 2 is going to take a look at getting somebody possibly appointed by the rest of the council since Ward 1 is not appointing their own.
Oh, I see. So in order to activate this idea that the board can then go and recruit somebody for Ward 1, what's the formal process? Sending a letter to Ward 1, we want a response from you, can you get us somebody by X date? I mean, there's no process, right?
Well, there are all kinds of boards and commissions, and not everyone is sure. So if you have somebody interested, and you know that there's an open slot at 1, you should have them contact the ward office at Ward 1 directly. And then if you know that's happened, and Ward 1 still hasn't made an appointment, I guess you can then bring it to another ward and see if they're willing to appoint in place of Ward 1 taking their own action.
Perhaps it's me, I don't mean to interrupt, but I thought that if there was a ward office that does not take action with our request, are we not allowed to appoint them?
Yourselves?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
That's what I was just telling her. Take, if you got two at Ward 2, the one that's denied at Ward 2, send it to Ward 1 and have them say yes.
Ward 1's not going to say yes.
Okay, so I don't know the policy.
So I thought that we can say, you've not said yes, we've got somebody who's interested, and we'd like to appoint them.
Yeah, just. I agree with
you. I don't know if you can appoint advisory members, but I'm not sure you can appoint a straight away voting member. I can check that for now if I can find it all.
They don't make a decision.
Well, that could be something we can look into because.
You know more than we do.
That's what I mean by activating the process.
Right.
What needs to happen? If I'm hearing.
Appointment, this is under section 10A90 sub B, appointment. The mayor of each council member shall appoint one voting member of the board. Should an appointment not be made within 30 days of when the position becomes available, the appointment can be made by a majority vote of the mayor of the council.
You
can't appoint anybody.
No, but we can push mayor and council.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, certainly we can do it anytime.
Okay.
I mean, it's doable. I mean, seems to be the last thing on their agenda, right? I mean, I've gone to the Ward 1 office because I live in Ward 1 and I'm in Ward 5, and I just thought it made sense for me to be part of Ward 1. But I got zero response. It's like, well, Ward 5's going to take it, so just do it.
Well, we were given a phantom person.
It's like.
Pick from Ward 1. And then zero response.
Nothing happened.
And then, presuming even another appointee, yes.
The other hard part is that, like what I've talked about before in this room, is that people don't know. People in the city, I mean, the city's gotten, I'm sorry, worse and worse all around, but I used to work there. But people don't know what this is. I spoke to two ward people, and I knew what I was dealing with because they're young kids, man. And like, you don't even know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, no. Run up. So let me explain it to you. And this is what I need, and I need you to respond to me. I got no response whatsoever.
Well, so maybe this, let's think. So if maybe, I have somebody I maybe talk to. I don't think they're in Ward 1. Though they live on Speedway, help me out with the boundaries.
You don't have to be in Ward 1.
No, you don't have to be in the ward. That's the
well, point. Because when
you
went to Ward 2, there was, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I can have this person.
Doesn't matter where they're at.
Go to Ward 1 and say, I would like to be the appointee for Ward 1. And then if there's no response, then we go to City
yes,
Council.
Exactly.
Does that sound like a move?
Yeah.
That's okay. Fine.
Or they can, or another council member can in their stead. So it doesn't say how the information or who the individual brought forward. That can happen anyway. But the appointment can't be made except for mayor and council. Clearly, if you're going to ask a council member to go to bat for you and try to get somebody appointed, and the person at the last second says, I don't have any interest, it's going to take away your credibility. So I make sure I really saw the candidate before I was to suggest that. Remember, the exclusions are no felony conviction, although I don't think a record check's been run on any CPAR member in 15 years.
That's good.
They cannot work in any capacity for the city of Tucson, either full or part-time. And they have to be a city resident. And it's not ward-specific.
And no peace officer.
And
no.
Okay, that was the other one. They can afford.
Take them years.
Can it be an executive substitute?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the answer is yes. But that's my problem, is I asked 3 ex-cops, and they're like, I don't want anything to do with that. Of course you don't.
I knew that came up. No, I think it's okay, because we had somebody.
I think it's okay, too. But yeah, it's very difficult for an ex-cop to work.
Because I took that position.
I think so.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
No voting member shall currently be a peace officer.
Currently.
Okay.
Just like a currently employed city employee.
All right, so my other action required is to talk to somebody who I think might be interested, and then have them go to Ward 1 to volunteer, and then if nothing, they'll let me know, and then we'll activate something to go to the board, to the mayor and council.
And I had somebody that I forgot to give you, Jose Raycon.
Yeah. Can we start from Rachel? I heard the name. Thank you.
Bella Lancer.
Yeah.
The only way to do it, of course.
One year.
Yours.
Is you can't, as you just heard, you can't appoint somebody, but you can choose an advisory member. And that can be used as a staging area for a promotion, so to speak, once there is an opening. And a lot of this has to do with what you heard Chief talk about, and that's the times are different. They're better, right? You don't have that same hostility. You know that there's still distrust. I'm not an idiot, but I mean, it's not as hostile as it used to be. And that's one of the reasons you're seeing it more calm, but it's another reason you're not seeing people beating the door down to come to review police work. That level of distrust is lessened. And that's, I believe that to be true. Is it in part due to TPD's efforts? You know, I think they should take some credit for that. If they don't want to, I think that it's deserved, because they make a significant investment in time and manpower, womanpower, and energy in making those community relations. But also the times are just different as well.
Well, COVID was a disruptor for that one group that used to come and film us religiously.
You know, I looked for
stop,
them
stop.
Just yesterday.
Did you?
None of them are active.
Why?
No, those are the First Amendment auditor group. None of them are active with their cameras when I see them. So.
They would sit there. There was a small group of them, and they were aggressive, and they would sit with their cameras and live stream on YouTube. Hey, TPD, what was it?
No, TPD sucks.
TPD sucks.
No, Tucson Police sucks.
And then Mark and I would go to Recon over at Red Garter, and then they'd show up and they'd be like, hi! It was so like.
Go to the garden tomorrow.
Hi! I
haven't seen any of them active.
Oh, and then our other community member who was, you know, with his books and everything. And then we gave him the floor, and that was the last time we saw him.
That's
it. Because we gave up the time.
There's a lot of people who want to stick their hand up and scream.
Yeah.
But you actually give them the time to try to make their point or make an effort to change.
Yeah, be a part of the solution.
And it's often not something these people want to do. It's easier just to scream. That's unfortunate, but that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
Yes. Sir.
And when I talk negatively about the city of Tucson, I don't want you guys to take offense. It's just that I used to work there, and I love the city of Tucson because I have great benefits, and I'm glad that I worked there for all the time that I did. And I learned a lot working there, and I helped the city. I helped my people. I did my best. But please don't take it personally when I say something negative about the city of Tucson. I really, it's just so frustrating sometimes.
All right. Okay, vacancies, good. And any future agenda items aside from the narcotic request for the city narcotic group to come and do a presentation? Any other thoughts or ideas for a presentation? Okay.
Just who's your new hockey team next year?
Not a big hockey fan.
You have to start recruiting.
No, never mind. I gotta go to one game this year.
Do you gotta do what?
I have to go to one game this year.
Oh.
You have to watch the police fire game.
Oh, God, no, you know, the boxing match that they have, no.
Too much. All right, item number 12, adjourn the meeting, and gladly turn it over to Ms. Kate for the next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. You're not Jessica.
Yes.
You are Jessica.
You're Jessica?
I am.
Jessica,
yes.
The email address that I think was the old one that was being used for communications with me, and I checked it today. And I have this attendance report.
Thank you.
The attendance for the year 2025.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
I'll go ahead and
sign it. Thank
you.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll probably get one. Do you want me to sign it or do you want? You can sign it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.